11th of January, with Sarah, Glenn, Jonathan, Tom, Azita, Knowing, Nina, Sukin, Ludwig, Susie, and Anne.
Glenn, who's been listening quite a lot, mentioned to me that he has one question he would like to raise, so maybe we can start with that.
Yes, please.
Yeah, I'm not the first person to have asked this question, but it's one that occurs to me from time to time. And the question is, why is there something rather than nothing?
Now, something or nothing? At this moment, something or nothing? Is that the question?
Yes, and also the question is why?
But let's say whether there is something or nothing now, first.
Well, I think there must be something, otherwise we wouldn't be here.
Right, right. And whatever is experienced, does it stay? Is it permanent? What is seen, what is heard? Or just for a moment and then pass away very quickly? For example, after seeing, there is thinking instantly after seeing. So thinking arises after seeing. So seeing is very short, not permanent at all. So if one can experience or understand the impermanency of reality right now, is it right understanding or wrong understanding? Because usually we think that everything is permanent, stay for a while, but actually it's not like we think. For example now, seeing and hearing, they're different. Without the eye base, there cannot be seeing. Visible object now cannot appear. And without the ear base and the hearing consciousness, sound cannot appear. So it seems like everything is so natural for granted, but actually it's so marveling. Because who can condition this moment to see? Even the visible object is real, but it cannot be seen or experienced without the seeing consciousness. And no one can make the seeing consciousness arise. It's conditioned. The blind would like to see very much, but it's impossible for the blind. The one who cannot hear would like to hear, but it's impossible without the ear base as the base for sound to impinge on it. So each moment is conditioned, uncontrollable, and it's already conditioned, this moment of seeing and hearing and thinking, by conditions. Each moment is conditioned by many, many conditions, not just one. For example, even one has the eye base, if the visible object does not arise, if it does not impinge on it, if the seeing consciousness does not arise, visible object cannot be seen. So whereas the eye, who can do or who can control or who can make anything arise? Just understand. The best thing in life is to understand reality like life, people and things. Everything around us. Is that why? What?
That sounds more like how.
Can just conditions be the answer? Okay, we accept that now there's seeing, now there's hearing. If we just say because there are a complex set of conditions, if those conditions are not in place, then there is no seeing, there is no hearing, there is no harness. But because these complex conditions are in place, these different realities have to arise, so then one can look at, well, what are these conditions? That's a further question. Is that an answer?
I think he was asking, what is the origin of rupa?
Can you say a little bit more about what is behind your question?
Well, the whole existence of the earth and human beings on it, why should that be, instead of there being nothing?
Instead of thinking about why and how, what about understanding reality as it is, as not anyone, yourself at all, first? For example, we cling to whatever is experienced. Whatever comes to be seen or heard, we cling so much. And what we cling most is what we take for self. For example, the body, the whole body, we take it as my body, right? And we love this body so much. We don't want to get sick, we don't want to be old, we don't want it to perish or die. But who can have such wish come true? Impossible. Because you see that no matter we like it this way or that way, it has to be that way, according to conditions. So at this moment, there is seeing. Who does not want to see? And who is seeing? Usually, there is the idea that I am seeing. But actually, if we understand seeing, that it's just an element, it's like any kind of element. For example, heatness. Can anyone make it up to be such quality of heat? It's there, like hardness. It's already conditioned to arise and appear when there's touching. In one's thinking, one thinks that there is always something permanent. Table is permanent, things are permanent. But actually, if we come closer to understand that whatever arises is conditioned, and there must be that reality which can experience it, just that, and then pass away or fall away completely. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow, exactly the same. So life is just this, experiencing from moment to moment different realities and think or claim that it's mine or me all the time. But actually, there's nothing left. Yesterday was gone completely, nothing left. So this moment is like that, like yesterday, passing away. Until tomorrow we know that yesterday was gone or today was gone, so that can be tomorrow. The same arising and falling away of realities.
But even though we pass away and die and this table changes form, doesn't the carbon still remain?
We think in terms of something as
carbon.
But actually, can it be directly experienced? Any word we use, like carbon, can it be directly experienced now?
Not unless it's in some form.
Yeah. So what is presenting itself like now? There can be direct understanding of it, instead of have the idea of something there. But actually, what is seen? Right understanding can understand whatever is appearing now. So it's not imagination, and it's not just idea about things, but it's the understanding of whatever presents itself like now. From morning up to now, after waking up, so many experiencing, arising and fall away, without any understanding the true nature of them all. There are seeings, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, and thinking. No one can stop it. No one can stop the nature of mental reality, which, after it has arisen and fallen away, conditions the next one instantly, no gap in between. It's beyond anyone's control. That's why we have the term anatta, means not atta, not self, not permanent thing. Without seeing and hearing, can we say that there is a being?
You can say it.
Where is it? Where is that being?
But human beings are a relatively late development in the development of the universe. So before human beings, back when there was no one to see and hear, there was still something.
But not now. Or now. Something not now or something now.
Not now, that's true.
So what about something now instead of something not now? The same or different?
Different.
In what way?
Time.
Just time. But the characteristic of seeing is exactly the same. A moment ago, seeing, and now, seeing, and future seeing. The seeing is seeing. If we don't think in terms of shape and form and beings, seeing is just seeing. It's a reality. Does it have nationality like Thai seas, or Japanese seas, or Chinese seas? or just seeing, common to every being that we take for being. But seeing is just seeing. So seeing itself does not belong to anyone at all. No nationality, very universal. Dharmas are very universal because it's beyond anyone's control. No one can stop it from arising when there are conditions for its arising. And after it has arisen, no one can stop the passing away, because whatever arises pass away. Nothing left? Is there something left? Right now, is there something left? Which one is left? If one thinks that there is something left, which one is left? Can we separate the whole body into a very tiny piece, and there are space in between each group, each piece of the body? We think that we have the whole body, but actually there are space in between what we take for the whole body. And the hardness at what we take for body is exactly the same as hardness everywhere. We call the tree or grass, it's hard. And what about hardness here? Exactly the same. But since it's not here, we don't cling to it as my body. But the arm can be cut up, and everything can be separated in pieces, very fine, anytime. But we can say or know that even what we take for body are conditioned by different kinds of conditions. For example, that which conditioned the eye best is different from what conditioned the sound and speech right now. So by understanding the arising and falling away of all realities, one begins to see that what one used to take for self actually is that which is arisen by conditions, passing away all the time, nothing left. That's why people are born and then die, must die. And actually, if we don't think about one's lifespan, each reality arises and passes away completely, like death, never come back. So it's momentary death. So we are not afraid of death because it's now. New life after death, exactly the same. So it's very temporary. Until it's the final death, no more arising of anything, because there are no conditions to condition birth after death anymore. No one likes it, not to be born again. And people don't like to die because they cling to this life so much. How long would you like to live? 100 or thousands, or only some years ahead?
Well, it depends on the conditions.
As long as one can.
Could we say the greatest attachment is to life, to just living?
Mm-hmm.
And there is vibhavatana also.
Vibhavatana.
Vibhava.
Vibhava is the wrong view, the uccedaditi only is vibhava. The idea or belief that there is no life again after death. That is vibhava without bhava.
And the craving for ending it?
No, it's not because you crave for it. No one craves for the end. You wish to have the better one.
Oh, right, yeah. Okay. This is a letter that Lodovic wrote, and he's encouraged me to raise it. It follows on from some of his other points he was raising the day before yesterday. What bothers me and Nina is that too often stressing and sometimes out of context, insisting on anatta can lead to neglect of other aspects of the teachings like metta and the other perfections, thus making our normal daily life difficult to live. It is for this reason that we want to stress in this respect the importance of the middle way, of balance, of acknowledging the Buddha's teachings will always have to be realized in daily life in the society with other human beings. So long as we have not realized the truth of anatta, like the Sotapanna has, we use the word anatta, but we should remember that we only have theoretical understanding. But of course we should continue to study and try to penetrate the truth of anatta. So there are several aspects that come up here about anatta, the middle way, balance, daily life, importance of stressing metta and the other perfections, not just anatta.
Can we have very great metta like Buddha? In what conditions such great metta? Wisdom and right understanding that there is no self. So one can see right understanding will condition more and further kusala, different levels, higher and higher, by knowing the truth that actually there is no self, no I. They are only the arising and falling away of different realities by conditions. So whatever come to this life, blame of praise or gain or loss, just conditioned by many conditions. So we don't mind or we don't cry when a loss or an unpleasant feeling conditioned. And no blame if one is harmed or hurt by the others. No blame for anyone, because the understanding that it is conditioned by one's own deeds in the past. And we can have metta to the person who hurt us too, because at that moment it's akusala, knowing that it will bring the unpleasant result for him. So the metta begins very early, before that person get result from his unwholesome deeds, or be friendly.
Yes, like you said, in the perfections, we are sorry when people receive unpleasant results, but we should be sorry for them the moment they commit unwholesome deeds, which is the cause for later bad results. That we are usually too late with Meta. Compassion.
How do you mean too late without compassion?
Too late, yeah. Well, we should think of someone is doing something very bad, or his behavior is not good, or he has bad speech to us, maybe.
Especially if it's
and
too
then that will bring him an unpleasant result later. And at that moment, we can have compassion. But usually people have compassion when someone has pain or receives a result of a former deed.
Oh, right, okay, yes.
So I like the expression,
too late. Well, there's always too much of me involved in it.
Because when we talk about non-self, when it's panya which can see that there is no body at this moment, and the understanding the difference between wholesome moments and unwholesome moments, there are conditions to be more metta by realizing and knowing realities at that very moment. So it does mean that one have to think of people and things in order to have metta. But usually there is the idea of being and thing when there are realities which are citta, citta-sika and rupa. Otherwise, what is a being without all these realities? But we know the true nature of each one, that it's conditioned to arise and passing away all the time. It brings more metta, the pure metta too, because seeing realities as they are, unwholesomeness as unwholesomeness, wholesomeness as wholesomeness, right?
Yeah, if there is enough understanding to know that they are just moments, mm-hmm. then there's, I'd say there'd be less dosa rather than metta, because I guess that's my accumulations, but there would be less dosa for events, because there is the knowing that they're only a very temporary mm-hmm. happening.
And there is the appreciation of Dhamma,
yes.
The teachings. See,
yeah.
The appreciation of the teaching is to understand reality, not just to follow or to try to have all kusala for oneself or for the others. It's impossible to get to that degree without the understanding of realities. It's like we live blindly because we don't know anything about this moment, the reality right now, as no self. And what is wholesome and what is unwholesome, whenever it arises, not just consider after it has passing away, which is not as clear and it's not the direct understanding of the characteristic of reality. So it's only thinking about realities, not just being aware and understand the nature of reality as a reality.